two.
The message today is disappointing helpmeets. Again, disappointing helpmeets. Just a brief portion in the New Testament, and then several portions in the Old Testament, all about helpmeets. One. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus also was bidden, and his disciples, to the marriage. And you know the rest of the story, how the wine failed and our Savior performed his first miracle. This is the book of beginnings also, the first miracle our Savior performed. And now, Genesis chapter 3, the book of beginnings. Verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat. And she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Now, look at verse 11. God is speaking to Adam, and he says, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, look at verse 16, and listen carefully, because all that transpired is not told us in the verses that I read you. Verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and so forth. We are not told that Eve said anything to him when the fruit was eaten. But God says, you hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and you've eaten of the tree. Now, chapter 16. My assignment is the book of Genesis, and I'm bringing to your attention today the helpmeets that God has given to the main characters in this book of Genesis. And so let's see what happens in chapter 16. The great personage in the book of Genesis, other than Moses, is Abraham. And God had promised Abraham when he was 75 years old that he was going to have a son. And now in chapter 16, verse 1, Sarah, at this time Sarai, his wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Go in, I pray thee, unto my handmaid. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Did you notice that Adam hearkened to the voice of his wife? And now,
Abram hearkens to the voice of his helpmeet, his wife. Verse 4, went in, she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I gave my handmaid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in thine eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. What has happened is that Sarai has failed, and she blames it on her husband, and says, now let God decide. Chapter 18. A promise is being made by God again about the birth of a son. Verse 9. And they said unto Abram, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee when the season cometh round, and Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child who am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the set time I will return unto thee, when the season cometh round, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but you did laugh. Now this is the second help meet. Chapter 27. Verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his elder son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me venison, and make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison, and make me savory food, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go to the flock, and so forth. And Jacob said in verse 11 to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau my brother is an hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice, and go, fetch me them. And now, chapter 28. Jacob leaves home, and then in chapter 29, for the sake of time, chapter 29, verse 20, he goes and he meets his uncle Laban and the two daughters, Leah and Rachel, and he agrees to work 7 years for the hand of Rachel. And look at verse 20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place, and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave Zilpah his handmaid unto his daughter Leah for an handmaid. And it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, What is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, It is not so done in our place to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill the week of this one, and we will give thee the other also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 years. The helpmeets. Now, let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all that you tell us about the history that is of the utmost importance to thee and therefore to us. We are thankful for the truth of it. Our God, we praise thee that you have set before us truths that are unembellished, that are untainted by lies. They contain the truth. And we pray that we as men and the women, our helpmeets, shall understand and learn from these portions that we are to consider today. So bless us by thy Spirit. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and bless us this hour, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you will find that he is trying to find the reason of things. And he's looking throughout the world, his kingdom, and he says, I am looking for a man, a good man, a wise man, an honest man. And he looks and looks, and he says, In all my searching, I've only found one in 1,000. And he said, But among those 1,000, I have not found one woman. Now, it may be that when he went to 1,001, he would have come upon a woman like Ruth. She was a virtuous woman. Thank God for such as Ruth. But if you look in the book of Genesis, which we are studying for and help meet, that was not disappointing to her husband, you will look in vain. I could mention another wife, Lot's wife. And what good did she do him? You say her heart was more taken up with Sodom than even Lot's heart was. And so as I tried to find and help meet for the men that God had created, as Ecclesiastes, I looked for one, and I was not able to find one. Now, does anyone here in the book of Genesis know of an helpmeet that was not disappointing? Then you can't find one either. I want to give encouragement, though. In addition to these disappointing helpmeets, there are virtues as well for this reason. And this was a great encouragement to me. The trouble in Abram's life began when, after 10 years of waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise, she said to Abram, What God has told us, it must be this way that it's going to be accomplished. I have a young handmaid, Hagar. You go in unto her, and it may be that I shall obtain children by her. And so that's the first thing that Sarah did that was a hindrance, a disappointment to Abraham. They had waited 10 years, and now Abraham was 85 and she was 75 years old. And so she said, We must have misinterpreted what God told us. It must be that through a young woman I am to have children by her. And the same thing happened also with Bilhah and Zilpah, the handmaids of Leah and Rachel. But what happens is this. It was not God's will that that should be done. And this is one of the most disappointing things in the life of Abraham. I want you to tell me anything that happened in the life of Abraham from his 86th year until his 99th year, tell me one thing that ever happened in the life of Abraham. You can't do it, because 13 years are blank after he hearkened to the voice of his wife. He was 86 years old. The next mention of Abraham is this: when Abraham was 99 years old, 13 blank years. Why? Because of the suggestion of an help meet. I read you 18 also to show another failure. She gave the suggestion, and it turned out to such a degree that it upset the family life of Abraham and Sarah. But now in chapter 18, God comes again and he says, you and your wife are going to have a son. And one day I want to give a message on wives and their eavesdropping, because two of these wives have done that. When God is talking to Abraham, Sarah is listening in the back of the tent. And when Isaac is talking to his son Esau, it says that Rebekah is listening. They are listening to what is going on. And when they hear things, something is going on in their minds. And when God is telling Abraham, you're going to have a son as soon as the season comes round, you and your wife, Sarah. And Sarah is in there preparing a meal, and she's laughing and laughing within herself. She doesn't laugh out loud. It's like the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. And Sarah is laughing, saying, am I going to have pleasure of my Lord? But notice, she calls him Lord. Am I going to have pleasure of my Lord when he is 100 years old and I am 90 years old? And she's laughing within herself as she's preparing dinner. And God said to her, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah said, I didn't laugh. God said, nay, but you did laugh. He said, is there anything too hard for me? And so twice she has failed. The promise of God made to Abraham, and then she reinterprets that promise. It's Hagar that God is talking about. And then God makes that promise again, and she says, it can't come to pass, because I'm an old woman and my husband is an old man. And God says this, is there anything too hard for me? And she told a lie. She said, I didn't laugh. He said, you did laugh. But I want to tell you of a great transformation that came over Sarah. Sometime from chapter 18 until the time that Isaac was born. Her name is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, and this is what it says. After she laughed at the promise of God, she said, shall it ever happen? It says, by faith, Sarah received power to conceive a child in her old age with her husband when he was an old man. She accounted God faithful. And so that's the encouragement to you. You who say God can't do this, and you've laughed at the things that God said he can do in your life and in my life. And then you say, well, God will set me aside because there's no hope. Within that period when you think it's impossible for the promise of God to be fulfilled, faith can develop in your heart. That is the encouragement. But Sarah gave no encouragement to her husband. She was disappointing as an help meet. So many times you and I say, here is my help mate, even though in the Bible it's help meet, and the word help meet, it means one thing corresponding to another. You and I correspond. I am the preacher, you are the congregation. If I had a coin, there is the front and the back of it. And so that is the meaning of the word meet. And so a help mate is one that makes up a complete marriage. But it's an help meet. And what is so sad is this, that when God finished his creation, he had been saying, as each step was developed, God saw that it was good. And when God had completed everything, it said he looked upon his creation and he said, very good. And so not one of you women and not one of us men were bad when God created us. But this is what Ecclesiastes has observed as he looked over men and women, as he considered life. He said, God made man upright, but he has thought of many inventions. God made him one way with a capacity to do good, to grow more like his creator. But it said he thought out many inventions. Here is man, and now Ecclesiastes is looking for a good man, an honest man. He said, I have to search endlessly, and maybe I will find one in a thousand. And he says, I look among the thousand, and I do not find an help meet that is not disappointing to me. And he knew all about help meets. He had a thousand of them. And it says this concerning Solomon's help meets. It said, they turned his heart away from the Lord. And so these help meets were hindrances, and they did more than hinder Solomon. They caused God in his old age to split his kingdom in two. And so, dear sisters in Christ, you who are wives, you are to be help meets to your husbands. You are to be helps. And this same word is used of God. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And so God helps in particular ways, but wives are to help in other ways. But every illustration I read to you from the wives in the book of Genesis, they were not help meets, but they were hindrances. And also, they were those that instead of helping their husbands, destroyed their husbands. We go to Eve now, the first wife. And here she is, without sin, and she is made in such a way that she has the power of choice. And because of that, God immediately is criticized. They say this, why did not God make her stronger so she would make the right choice? Because if God made her strong in that way, her love and devotion to him would be worthless because he made her so strong she could not love anybody but God. Why did he make her so weak? He did not make her so weak that she could not say no to Satan, because this is what the Lord tells us. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make also a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And so there is no woman that is made so weak that she cannot say no to sin. And the same is true with man. And what God has done is to make man and woman with precisely the degree of strength to say no to sin or to say yes to sin. And God becomes indignant when you look upon what happened and you lift your eyes and blame God for this reason. God, in speaking to Job, says, would you disannul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Listen to what God has said. He said, I have made decisions. Will you disannul my judgment? The decisions I have made, would you set them aside and say, you could do better? He said, would you condemn me that you may be justified? And every time you think that you could improve on what God has done with our first parents or anything that's happened in your life or in the world today, you have disannulled God's judgment and you have condemned him that you may be justified. And when God said that and further displayed himself to Job, Job said, I've heard of you with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. He said, I abhor myself. I repent in sackcloth and ashes. If God were to defend himself, that is what you would do. But here, is what I find about God. That when God is blamed from what happens in the life of Adam and Eve, he does not defend himself. He says nothing in his defense. And this is what happens. I see that man and woman are created in the image and likeness of God. And so they are able to think. When God wanted names for all the animals, God knew the perfect name for that animal. But he brought it to Adam and said, now what is the name of this animal? And Adam looked at it and said, well, that's a cow. God said, yes. And what is this? And he looked and he said, well, that is a sheep. And God said, yes. He was able to name every animal. He intuitively had the ability to look at things and give them names. But he also had ability to think quickly to shift the blame to somebody else. For this reason, when God spoke to Adam, and please notice that he addresses the man, because, dear sisters in Christ, it says the man was not made for the woman, but the woman for the man. It's the way that God arranged it. And here is this woman that is made for man, and God says to Adam, what have you done? And he said, the woman that you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit, and I ate it. Do you see how quickly he understands how to protect himself? Yes, I did it, but it was because of that woman that you gave to be with me. Now, he turns to the woman and says, what have you done? And she says, why, that serpent that you created, he had such subtlety that he beguiled me, and I partook. Do you see? They are not guilty. It would have been different had you not given that serpent to come and tempt me. Please notice, he did not allow Satan, with all his glory, the anointed cherub that covered, he did not allow Satan to come and tempt her that way. Why, even John in the book of Revelation fell down before the angel. But in a beast, a serpent, he allowed Eve to be tempted. You see, he is thinking what you can bear. But then Adam, who has sinned, and it's most important that I read to you, when God spoke to Adam and said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And so what you women are to do is to preserve us men from evil. But what happens is at times, you lead us into evil. Ananias and Sapphira, they agreed together to lie unto the Lord. Now, when a fault was made to deceive God, to pretend that they were as generous as the other Christians at the church at that time, Ananias and Sapphira talked the matter over and say, this is what we will do. We will pretend to give everything, but only give so much, and then they will think that we are as spiritual as Barnabas. And they both agreed to it. What kind of wife is this, when a husband would make such a suggestion and the wife would go along with it? And what kind of husband is it that would make such a suggestion, or a wife make a suggestion and the husband go along with it? We men are not without blame, but in the instances that I brought out today about disappointing helpmeets, it is the woman. And the woman, instead of helping, has hindered. And in the case of Eve, she has completely destroyed her husband. How sad. And helpmeet, just before God looked at his whole creation, and it says this, he saw that it was very good. And now, he looks at the woman and the man, and he is so disappointed that when we come to chapter 6, it said, the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, yet shall his days be 120 years. And it says, the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And God said, I'm going to destroy the earth. And so it became so disappointing that God himself said, I'm putting an end to this creation. I'm going to start through Noah and his offspring another. And so he starts again. And then eventually God is going to have to destroy it once more, because only through the Lord Jesus Christ, not an help meet a woman, but God's Son sent from heaven, will we be lifted from this curse that is upon the earth. And God is going to do it through his Son. Let me mention the others. Here is Rebecca. Rebecca had so many good points. When the servant found her to bring her to his master Isaac, she was bringing water to the camels. She was obedient. She was willing to go with him. But what happens is this. Her fondness was for her son Jacob. And she's willing to deceive her blind husband and cause the blessing to be given to Jacob instead of Esau. Perhaps I shall tell you more about that, whether she was right because of what she heard when she sought the Lord about the twins that were in her womb. And so here is Rebecca. And Rebecca could have brought the death upon Isaac, her husband, at that time, because when he learns of what has happened, it said he trembled with a great trembling. And the man is an aged man, and he thinks he's going to die at any time. And why he did not have a heart attack, God knows. But he had 43 more years to live. But this is what Rebecca did to her husband. The helpmeet caused him to shake, to fear and tremble because of what she brought into his life. And Leah and Rachel, do you not know that they agreed with Laban, their father, when Laban said, look, I promised you, Rachel, to Jacob, but I'm going to give Leah first. Then you can have her, have him later on. And so these two wives deceived Jacob as well. And so Ecclesiastes looks for a good man, and he can't find but one in 1,000. And he looks for a good woman that does not disappoint, that is in helpmeet. And he says, I haven't found one. And he knows from experience because he had 1,000. And so, dear wives, be help meets to your husbands, and husbands, be worthy of the wife that God has given you. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the lessons that you've given us. We remember also that your scripture says, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Our Father, we look upon ourselves, and now the creation that you pronounced at first, very good, and now you make a different pronouncement upon it. But our God, we are thankful that because of your Son, the seed of the woman whom you're going to send into the world, whom you did send into the world, and he shall come again, you're going to change the whole creation. And we are thankful, our Father, that indeed you made a paradise for Adam and Eve, and you've made a paradise in heaven for us. And when your Son comes back, we who have trusted him as Savior shall enter into that paradise. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Sometimes it's very difficult to find a fitting song to sing or that kind of thing. I'm going to select a chorus that basically, I think, speaks of the Lord being apportioned to us at all times and being able to carry us through regardless of the situation. Number 212, I'd like you just to stand and just sing, He's able, He's able, I know He's able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. And it's true that while John has spoken about helpmates or helpmeets being disappointing to the patriarchs, how often we men also fail our wives. But the Lord is able.